Before we begin this episode, I would like to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. If you would like to support the ongoing production of this podcast, feel free to support us. Any little bit, as little as a dollar, goes a very long way. And you can find the link to support us in the description of this episode. In particular, I would like to give a shout out to Anna H, Nini, Kathleen M S, Delia, Elizabeth O, Christian G, Evelyn, Cassandra G. Y'all are fantastic. Thank y'all over at our BBF, BFF tier. Y'all are amazing. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Fams, the show where we dismantle shit by talking shit. This is one of your hosts, Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
And this is Cassandra, your other host, coming to you from Chucotown 915.
Giving your zip code too while you're at it, shit.
And with us also from Chucotown 915, we have our Bitter Brown Femmes first and only guest correspondent, a gay Aquarius correspondent, Alexis. Give it up.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
You're the first guest to return.
Hey.
You're our correspondent on the ground.
Oh yeah.
Breaking news.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Yeah. We sent Alexis on the ground to come back and report.
Yeah.
This job and then come back and tell us what you find out.
Bitter Brown Fams is here to give you hard breaking news. And it's by breaking we mean like 2 weeks after things have happened.
Once the dust has settled.
We're here to ruffle feathers once everybody's like calm. We're like, remember this?
Where's the outrage?
Yeah.
Y'all forgot about it already?
It's been a month. Y'all already forgot? But how have y'all been?
Pretty, okay, good.
I mean, it's all like Texas is on fire and we're like, this is okay. Or what's that meme that's like, this is fine.
Yeah, real life.
But not.
Oh my God.
No. I'm like happy like there's a breeze in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fall breeze, finally. Like it's still hot, but there's like, you know, it's starting to get cooler. There's like a little breeze now that's only going to last a month. So
no more 100 degree weather, you know, thankfully.
Yeah. But I'm also kind of still in shock. There's like 3 months to this year. And like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
Yeah, you know, Portland has been really sunny. Except for last week when I finally needed to be on campus and needed to bike. And then it started raining on me. And today that I don't need to bike, it's as sunny as shit again. So, you know, Mother Nature is just playing games today.
How is the... Is the weather different from, like, way from California to Portland, to Oregon? The same, or?
Up until last week, it was pretty much the same. But then last week, it was just raining, like, every day. But
I feel like Portland has, like, it's a lot like Seattle, no? Portland weather?
They
kind
share,
of, not as much,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, they're both sad, rainy cities.
Yeah,
except for we don't have award-winning television shows based on Portland.
yeah. Tragic.
You cannot find Seattle Grace Hospital here. But yeah, no, I've been good though, just like, you know, getting pumped up for my first quarter, you know, on campus. Yeah. And what else? That's pretty much it. Just work.
My son started school, Lucas started school, so just a lot of that. A lot of meetings with the school. He's been having a hard time. And one of the things, it's a lot, obviously, I'm not going to get into it, but I don't know if I talked about, no, I don't think we talked about this the last time. Like, kind of, you know, like, he has, because of the pandemic, like, was out of school for, like, a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, since, like, the beginning of 2020, kind of, like, back in March. So, that didn't even really cross my mind a lot. Like, during quarantine, it was just, like, me and him alone at home. Like, that's it. He wasn't really around a lot of other people, especially didn't have to go to a classroom and sit down and, like, kind of getting into that routine again, you know? And it's I'm sure it's hard for a lot of kids, but I think, you know, like, special education children, like, it's just been a lot. And I think that definitely has something to do with it, amongst other things, but it's just, like, the reality, you know? During lockdown, it was, like, a lot of stress, a lot of meltdowns, and now it's, like, the same, but, like, trying to, you know, adjust to school and I guess, like, the rules, right? Like, because he would take off his mask a lot. Oh. So, like, having to be, like, now you have to wear this mask. Now he wears it all the time, but at first it was, like, why am I wearing, like, with all the kids. Also, because here in Texas, like, the kids didn't have to wear a mask. It was, like, optional. And, of course, like, I was, like, you're going to wear a mask. But then he would see other kids that wouldn't wear, like, it's just a lot. But now they're, like, it is implemented. Like, everyone has to wear a mask. So that's good. But anyway, yeah, just dealing with a lot of, you know, with my child, but also getting ready to go back to school myself next week. Hey. So, you know, and then, like, that process of, like, registering, it's, like, that. So, just a lot of school. Oh, a lot of school trust. Shit.
Yeah. I'm still in the process of all that registration shit. But what I was going to say, you know, your child not wanting to put a mask on or taking it off reminds me that I recently met.
He took another kid's mask off. I'm sorry. He's a mess. And then I was like, why'd you take this kid's mask off? He's like, because he's been wearing it for 2 days and his parents haven't given him one. I'm like, oh my God, like, stop.
Wait, what? Whose parents haven't given whom what?
Like the other kid, like he took somebody else's mask off. And I was like, why did you take this kid's mask off? And he's like, because his parents haven't given him a new mask.
Oh
God. Anyway, I'm sorry. Just a reminder to change your kid's mask. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of that fucking, like, tweet where it was, like, this, like, anti-mask was, like, this is the mask when I wear it all day or something. Oh, and it was just, like, right. Filthy and dirty. And everyone's like, why would you post this? Like, maybe you should change your mask. Like, you're not supposed to wear it, like, one mask all the time, you know? But she thought she was making a point, and I'm like, this mask is disgusting, bitch. Like,
brush your teeth.
Oh my God.
Scrape your tongue, please.
Yeah. No, you know what? I on Grindr, I came across gay anti-vaxxers and, like.
Oh, bye.
People.
Actually, no, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Really? Well, like, Portland.
I'm just thinking of, like, are they white? Were they white?
One of them was a Latino. So it was a block on site. At first I was like, are you being, like, sarcastic here? And then I, like, they had the links to their Instagram and they had a bunch of posts of, like, my body can take care of itself or some shit. God. And I'm just like, you're gross. I can't believe. Portland is full of surprises. Let me just say that. Everybody's into Dungeons and Dragons. Everybody's into hiking. And everybody's into polyamory, open relationships. And I guess I can get down with that.
Sounds terrible.
I just, wow, discrimination against polyam community. They're going to come at you.
Wow.
Or D&D players, I'll pick one.
No.
Or hikers, they're everywhere. But yeah, no, so it's been wild. But you know what? I think I'm going to find true love here. And speaking
we'll
of.
See.
We'll see.
Only been to Portland once, and that shit was wild.
I feel like I'm in. No, I've been to Portland like 2 times, and one of those times was when I met Ruben, and so well, that time was fun, but it was a lot, and not a lot of people there, like fish people, like they look like fish, like they've evolved into fish people.
God. What the heck?
You'll notice now that I mentioned it. Go to the grocery store, and you know what I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about.
They all have Pisces placements, so that's why they look like fish.
Oh my God.
Or you mean they look like the fish on SpongeBob, is that what you're saying?
I don't even know what that fish looks like.
What? They all look the same.
I don't know if it's the smell, but also how they look. The white people there. I'm going to say it. The white people in Portland. Anyway, enough of that. You good? So yeah. The reason why Alexis is like here, I'm like, they're just here listening to us. They are here because today we wanted to talk about the abortion ban in Texas. And of course we wanted to talk about it with someone who knows firsthand, that works, does this work, right? Is like knowledgeable on this topic, et cetera, et cetera. So like I said, we sent Alexis down out there. On the ground. I we're in Texas. I just, you know. No, but if you haven't listened to our episode on Palestine that we did, I think it was like 2 episodes ago, you definitely should. We did an episode then with Alexis, and we're, like I said, they're like our corresponding guests. But now we're going to talk about abortion. And Alexis, tell us about your work, because people might be thinking, well, like, okay, what do you know about abortion that we don't? Like, why are you, like, what's your job or what?
Yeah, so I work for a local abortion fund called West Fund. And so we fund folks in South Texas, Nuevo Mexico, and Juarez. And so what we do is folks reach out to us who are getting their abortions done and don't have the funds to pay for them, right? So we send the money to the clinic to help them pay for their procedures. If folks don't know how costly abortions are, they range from like $500 to like $8,000, depending on how far along you are. Yeah, it's really, really expensive. And so, you know, there are other funds in Texas who help with that. There are national organizations who also help with the cost. But if you're someone who is pretty far along, you know, a $500 pledge isn't going to really do much, right? So this is where a lot of funds come into play to help pay for these costs. And so, yeah, so I'm the helpline manager. So I'm the one that deals directly with folks calling us for funding, and also help with like the volunteer situation for any folks who want to help volunteer with West Fund.
And is that normal that people have to find funding for abortions, or is it only a Texas thing? Like, abortions are not free throughout the United States?
Yeah, no. So there's funds all over the U.S. So depending on what state you're in, you know, it depends how many abortion funds there are. I know some states, like smaller states in comparison to Texas, obviously, only have like one abortion fund, right? But for example, in New Mexico, if you have Medicaid, your abortion's actually covered by the Medicaid program there. So that's actually pretty cool. The only thing about that is I don't know how, if there's like gestational limits about that or things like that, because I know we do get some folks from New Mexico, probably folks who don't qualify for Medicaid or whatever, right? But yeah, but in Texas, there's a bunch of funds here because, I mean, we're such a huge, huge state in comparison to other states. And yeah, no, it's normal in the sense of like there's a lot of funds who do this work, but it's not normal because it's like, why is this so expensive? Why is this so inaccessible, right? So it's like a good thing that there's funds like us in other places, but it's also like we shouldn't even be having to like do this, right? So it's like a double, like a, what is it? A double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And the process to even get funding is like, ugh, very traumatizing for folks. And that's really unfortunate.
If I'm not mistaken, and like in my experience, like in the nonprofit sector, it's like everything is so number based, right? You have to deliver. These are the numbers of, you know, people out here getting abortions. This is what they look like. This is where they come from. Like, their racial makeup and so forth, and that, you know, you're coming in to get it this like very personal and maybe even invasive procedure, only for to have to be, you know, taken down as like a number, an ID, a statistic, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, there's different. I mean, obviously we are a nonprofit, right? But we try to, like, challenge the nonprofit industrial complex as much as we can, right? Because, like, at the end of the day, like, there's only a couple of us. Some of our funding does come from grants, and so depending on what grants we get, depends on, like, what we have to, like, send to them or how we can only use that money. But thankfully, there are a lot of, like, grant funding organizations that are, like, really lenient on, like, how to use the money, right? So it's just like, oh, do you guys need this money? Here, here's, like, this amount of money, and you can use it to whatever. But yeah, I mean, you know, like, other funds have different, like, qualifying criteria, like, how much money do you make, how many children do you have, you know, demographic information, like, the basic demo information and things like that. And so, at least for West Fund, one of the things that I really like is the fact that, you know, we kind of did away with all of that, because for us, it's, like, it's not a matter of, you know, you have to qualify to need this money. For us, it's, like, if you're obviously coming to us, you need this money, so we're going to fund you regardless. And so we don't really ask for demographic information. And so I know for, like, researchers, it's, like, very frustrating, but it's also, like, these are real people. These are not numbers. So, you know, sorry.
Yeah. Yes. And so... thank you for that. So about for people that are, missed the news a month ago, the news that we're breaking again, can you tell us like about the abortion ban in Texas and like what exactly is like what is it, the law?
Yeah, so this law was signed by our
shit governor.
Shit ass governor, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking Abbott. So basically he signed this law and it went into effect on September 1st. And so basically this law doesn't criminalize people, needing the abortions. It's criminalizing people who are helping with the person getting their abortion. And so they created this like hotline thing online, and, to like report folks like us who are helping with like funding, with helping with transportation. So, the thing about this law that's like so different from other different laws is that the government itself is actually not enforcing it. They're actually letting the public enforce it. So that makes it a little bit more difficult because, for example, if you have folks who are like in domestic violence situations or things like that, and they find out that, you know, one of these funds helped them, or they, you know, figure out my name or something like that, they could just be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to sue this person. And so, you know, after talking with like lawyers and things like that, you know, there's a chance that we might get like multiple lawsuits at the same time. We can even get restraining orders. And so it's making it very difficult for folks to be able to seek out help from anyone out of, you know, fear that, you know, their loved ones might get reported because some anti-choicer was like, oh my God, you know. So it's a very weird bill because, again, you know, because the government isn't enforcing it, but the public is, like, and we all know that anti-choicers are fucking bonkers, right? So it's just very stressful because we might not even know, like, where it's coming from, how to fight it, and it's one of those things where it's, like, we won't know until we get there type of situation. So, yeah, that's been difficult to navigate.
Yeah, in many ways, in very obvious, immediate ways, it's like, you know, the carceral state is like turning people into, you know, a tentacle of the surveillance state.
Right. Right?
Another facet of, you know, the panopticon or whatever. Because that's some like dystopian shit where like, we're not going to enforce it. You citizens mm-hmm. are going to enforce it. Like,
yeah. And then on top of that too, you know, this bill also, prohibits abortions after 6 weeks. Right. So now clinics need to follow this like law situation where if they have someone who came in at 5 weeks, you know, there's still all these trap laws in Texas. You still have to do the 48-hour, time limit, thing and do the sonogram, get that stupid script that the government made with a bunch of lies about how you're gonna get cancer and become infertile and all this shit, right? And so with all these bans put together, by the time this person actually is able to get the funding for their abortion and actually show up, they've already passed 6 weeks, you know? And so it makes it super, super inaccessible for folks. And, you know, there's a lot of clinics who are like, what are we doing? You know, to my understanding, Planned Parenthood isn't even performing abortions right now. So it's like, it's just a lot of pressure and a lot of, it's just bullshit, honestly.
So it's just like, they're like, it's just like a complete abortion ban. It's not even like at 6 weeks, because even 6 weeks is bullshit for all the reasons that you listed, but also obviously because some people don't even fucking know they're pregnant. Exactly. And even if you are pregnant, like, it's, I don't know.
There's a full ass show, like, I didn't know I was pregnant. Like, please.
Yeah. Like, I know when I was pregnant, like, I weighed my options. Like, I didn't know what I wanted. You know what I mean? And I was, I was probably like, I don't know how many months I was, a month, two, whatever. But it was like, for some people, it's like, they know they want an abortion. For other people, they want to weigh their, like, it should be a decision that you, like, have time to make, that you think about it or not. You should just be, like, the bottom line, you want an abortion, you should fucking get it. Like, period, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, this ban is just, like, it's not a ban at 6 weeks. It's just, like, a ban. Like, because it's, like, bullshit. Like you said, like, you can't really... Like, at 6 weeks, you don't know. At 6 weeks, by the time you get into, like, actually do the procedure, by the time you get money, all of these things, it's pretty much, like, in Texas, like, abortions are banned under a fucking Democratic president. Mm-hmm. I have to emphasize on that because, you know, people are, like, you know, back to the whole, like, Biden thing that I don't want to get into Biden right now, but it's just like, yes, we live in a red state, because people always want to emphasize on that when everything happens in Texas, like, it's our fault, mm-hmm. and we voted for Abbott, and et cetera, et cetera, when the reality is, like, we live in a red state, and we are trapped here, and I don't know if trapped is the right word, right, but it's like, it's not like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, people that just, every time something happens in Texas, like, why don't you just move out? Right. Why don't you just move out of the state? Why don't you just, like, vote next time? Like, these are not solutions. Like, they're not solutions, you know?
Not solutions, because, like, the way redlining and district lining happens, they make it so that they minimum, especially in Texas and in the South, it's, like, really hardcore, like, redlining laws, right? Which is the process of, like, separating the districts in a way that favors a certain political party. And in this case, it is the GOP, right? The Republican Party. So, say, for example, you and your neighbor are, like, super, like, progressive, and you're, like, right at the edge of, like, another progressive neighborhood. Chances are that with, like, redlining, a Republican is going to split you away from your other progressive neighbors so that your votes do not contribute to the county tally, right? Mm-hmm. And thus giving them more points, right? So when it comes to voting Republican, then what that means is that even if, like, the progressive, like, you know, got all together and started organizing, like, because of the Electoral College, their votes wouldn't, like, count in a way that was productive towards making Texas a blue state, right? Mm-hmm. And so people have to think about that when they say, like, oh, they voted for this, they deserve this. Or, you know, they also have to think about, like, even the inaccessibility, which you covered before, about, like, getting to a voting poll as working class people, right, as people of color who have been disenfranchised from that process. And connected with that, this idea that, like, people can just get up and move to a different state, like, as someone who just moved to a different state, that shit is ridiculously expensive. Like, and I'm just one person, and it, like, essentially, like, you know, my bank account has not been the same. And I'm just one person. I cannot imagine if a family needed to get out of a red state. Right.
Right.
Yeah. On top of it, just, like, this is our home. Like, whether it's, like, bullshit or not, like, this is, like, you know, this is, like, where we live. But anyway, so talking about that is, like, so abortion is pretty much banned. Let's just say that. And with the work that you're doing, I had a question, like, you know, with, like, the lobbying that we just talked about, like, if someone wants to sue you, if someone, I guess it's just sue, right? And then from that mm-hmm. process is, like, what could happen to you other than being sued? Because, like, when I'm thinking about being sued, it's, like, money. Right. We're talking about money, right? But obviously, if you don't have money to pay that, then you would go to prison.
Right.
Right? So it is, like, a carceral thing. Like, it's a lot. It's, like, not just, like, abortion ban, but it's, like, the prison industrial, like, another mm-hmm. way to, like, feed it people into prisons, right? Like, how do you feel about that? Like, I mean, I know that, like, obviously it's scary, especially because, like, you just said you don't really know how to fight this. Like, you have to wait until it happens mm-hmm. and then try to navigate it from there. Or if it happens to somebody else, maybe you can, you know, but you don't really know yet until it happens. And, like, does it make, obviously, I don't think it's made you want to stop doing this work.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, before even September 1st, like, you know, we were all, like, scrambling. We were all trying to, like, figure out what was going to happen, like, what's going to happen to, like, the information that we have, you know, like, our clients especially, right? So, obviously, like, you know, how I mentioned before, the people actually getting the abortions are not being criminalized, but it's, like, what are folks going to do with that information, right? What about our volunteers, especially our young volunteers, right, who, like, you know, they are part of West Fund, but they're not employed by West Fund. So what's going to happen to them if, like, you know, someone gets a hold of, like, their phone number or, like, their address or shit like that, right? So it's definitely been, I mean, it's been, I think I was scared at first. Now I just feel, like, a lot of anger, honestly. But it's, I think it's just been, like, an array of emotions, real life, because it's kind of like, you know, how you mentioned, like, we don't know what's going to happen until it happens. And it's like, you know, we can have multiple lawsuits at once, and then we can have restraining orders. And, like, so then if there's restraining orders, like, are we going to have to stop working? You know, like, what's going to happen to my income? Like, what if I end up going to jail? Like, you know, little shit like that. And we all joke around, like, oh, we're going to be cellmates and shit like that, you know, trying to, like, lighten the mood. But it's kind of this thing of, like, where we do have to be extra cautious now about, like, showing our faces and, like, posting, like, personal information online, right? And, like, trying to, like, erase any personal information that we might have. Even to the point where it's just, like, you know, now when we're talking to callers, it's, like, using aliases, you know? Because, and so there's a lot of little things that kind of takes away from that in interpersonal relationship with our callers, because, you know, we have to take extra, like, levels of precaution, you know? And so, thankfully, we have, like, all the Texas funds are currently in a lawsuit called the People's Lawsuit. To be, like, real honest, I honestly forgot what it's even about. But there's, like, a group of lawyers called the Lawyering Project. And so they, like, do repro rights, like, lawyer shit, I don't know. And so we got into the people's lawsuit with them. And so another group of those same lawyers are now also, like, helping us with, like, language and, like, what to say, what to do, things like that. But, you know, even them, they also don't know. So right now they're just throwing, like, multiple lawsuits at the Texas government, trying to see, like, what sticks, trying to, like, oversaturate them, trying to put, you know, pauses on, like, injunctions and shit like that. And so it's just a lot of legal shit that even I don't understand. So I'm just like, what the fuck do we even do, you know? And, like, we had to kind of downsize our website and take a bunch of shit off. We had to, you know, pause the helpline for a little bit, and, like, tell the volunteers, like, hey, like, you know, y'all can come back, but we need to figure this shit out first because we want to make sure that you guys are safe, you know? Like, so there's just a lot of things that it's just like, it's just so many things that are up in the air that we don't know. And it's just so frustrating because, you know, we're not going to stop doing this work. Like, we're going to continue funding abortions regardless, right? Because that's a form of care for our community. And that's something that our community needs, you know, especially in the border, especially here in El Paso, you know, like, and so it's just a lot. It's just a lot to deal with. And, like, I think at this point for myself, I've kind of, like, desensitized myself from, like, the possible consequences, because at this point I'm just like, you know what, whatever happens, happens, man. Like, now we just joke around about, you know, going to jail and shit like that, trying to lighten the mood. But, you know, it is a serious thing. And so just navigating that and, you know, trusting the folks that support us, and then trusting your team is super, super important, and figuring out like how to take care of ourselves and take care of each other.
Yes, and so that you mentioned, of course, being at the border, and this work is, you know, when we talk about abortions, it's like, people are like, it's a human right, it's a medical care, it's a medical procedure, it's also, like you said, community care. It's a form also of mutual aid to fund abortions, to take care of people. If you can't fund it, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, I've known people who are like, I need to get an abortion in Albuquerque, for example, New Mexico, and I need someone to go with me, right? Like, there's a lot of different ways to, like, show up for people who get abortions, who need abortions, right? And one of those, of course, is, like, funding, which is also a form of mutual aid, which is community care. And here, like, because I know when that happened, you know, everyone, when something happens, everyone's like, what do I do? What can I help? Where do I donate? And there was, like, at that time, like, a month ago, there was, like, lists of abortion providers in Texas. But for me, like, I highlight always, like, border cities in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the RGV, and then, of course, here in El Paso, like, why is that important? Like, because, I mean, I can talk about it, but I would like you to talk about it. Like, being at the border and also, oh, okay, sorry, let me rewind a little, because also a lot of things that people are like, you can drive out, right, to New Mexico, or, like, depending on where you are in Texas, Oklahoma, what else is, Louisiana? I'm like, I think so. I'm mapping out on the map. You know, you can just drive out of state to get an abortion, right, essentially, just like they're telling us to move out. Why is that not a possibility? Like, what are some of the factors that, like, it's not that easy for people to just...
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that, like, people think that, oh, because, you know, we're such a big state and we have a bunch of neighboring states, you can just go to whatever clinic, right? But the reality is that, you know, there's a lot of intersections that come with, you know, abortion access. And, you know, one of them is you know, if you're undocumented or not. If you're undocumented, you can't go anywhere, right? Like, you are essentially stuck in whatever city you're in. And to be able to travel out is a huge risk. And, you know, I've met folks through West Fund who have called the helpline that have actually taken that risk to drive to Albuquerque as an undocumented person. And, you know, there's no guarantees that they'll, you know, be able to make it there, make it back. You know, it's just, it's a huge risk. And on top of that, too, you know, a lot of the times, you know, most of the folks who are seeking funds through abortion funds tend to be, you know, low income folks. So for folks to just be like, oh, well, you can just drive somewhere, it's like, okay, but what if they have kids? You know, what if they can't take time off from work?
They don't have a car.
Exactly. Transportation. And then on top of that, you know, depending on how long your procedure is, depending, you know, on how far along you are, that means you have to take more time off work, right? So if you are there for, like, you know, after the first trimester, that's basically like a whole week that you have to be where the clinic's at. So now you have to take a whole week off of work, you have to pay for the hotel, you know, you have to find that childcare, right? And especially now with COVID, you know, like, a lot of these clinics are restricting to just one person. So you're not going to leave your kids at the hotel room by themselves, right? Like, you can't even be accompanied by, you know, your partner, your friends, or things like that. And so for folks to just say that you can travel out is, I think, a very privileged and ignorant, you know, point of view, because it's like, yo, it's really not that easy. And, you know, if the clinics have a wait time, you know, that's more expensive, that's more money. Like, you know, folks have to take into account all the laws that are in Texas, besides this one that just passed, that affect your ability to get the access you need when you need it, like, according to your timeline, right? And so, especially here at the border, you know, we have a large undocumented community here. And yeah, you know, there's Las Cruces there, but we don't have an abortion provider here in El Paso, I'm sorry. You know, we have a Planned Parenthood here, but we've had inconsistent providers here. And the folks who were able to get their abortions here in El Paso a couple years ago, you know, I would consider lucky that they were able to get that provider when they could, when a provider was only here, like, twice a month, you know what I mean? And so it's these little things that it's just like people think it's so easy, but it's really not. You know, it takes a lot of logistical planning. It takes a lot of even just emotional planning, like having to travel out of state by yourself during COVID. Like, that's a big risk that you're taking. And then on top of that, if you're undocumented, it's just even more, you know? And so people keep forgetting about these little like different layers of what actually accessing abortion is. And so it's been really frustrating, especially here at the border, you know, because, oh man, people are frustrating. People are frustrating. So, did I answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, you answered all of it. Thank you.
How would you... I think, I don't know, at least for Cassandra and I, we come from conservative spaces, right? How have you had conversations with folks trying to persuade them to not be a snitch, right, and to begin seeing abortion rights as something that is necessary and something that shouldn't be criminalized?
So, I mean, I know lots of folks having those conversations. I think the issue with a lot of these, I think there's two trains of thought about that, right? So, you know, there's a lot of folks who are very like open about, you know, the right to get an abortion, and they're very open to talking about that with like folks who are like anti-choice, right? And so I think where it gets complicated is when people tend to use like very gendered language, right? So they'll try advocating for abortion rights through this like very white feminist lens and think that they're making all these points and like dunking on like anti-choicers or whatever. And so, you know, or even using things like, you know, like the rhetoric that was going around when the bill passed on September 1st, like talking about abortion funds as like underground railroads, or being like, oh, this is like a Handmaid's Tale thing, right? And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, that's so anti-black. That's super racist, right? And it's just like people... A lot of the times people see abortion access as this like white, through this like white feminist lens, right? Or think that this is just like a white woman issue. And so it's difficult sometimes to even get people who are pro-choice on the same page, right? Because there's even pro-choicers who are like, I'm pro-choice, I'm not pro-abortion. And it's just like, no, we are pro-abortion. Like, that's a thing. Like, you know, like this, like you can have as many abortions as you fucking want, and that's completely okay. And regardless, like nothing's gonna stop people from getting these abortions. So why are you using this kind of language, right? Or using it to like in a very extreme way of like where it only people only talk about it through like incest or like rape or things like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's these conversations that it's like, why does it have to be such extreme measures for you to be okay with people doing what they want with their own bodies and their like their autonomy, you know what I mean? And so and then there's the other part where, you know, a lot of folks actually don't even know about that whole like reporting shit, you know what I mean? So one thing that I was like, man, this is kind of like a double-edged sword, when, you know, all these funds and like all these like national orgs were posting like the accurate information of this, is that they were also informing anti-choicers that there's actually a way to, like, you know what I mean? So it was like, how can we stop this misinformation with accurate information, but now we're also informing anti-choicers about this? So it's just like, fuck, like it feels like whatever we do, there's always like a, well, yeah, like a double-edged sword about that situation, right? And so it's super difficult. And so my thing, like, you know, I also come from like a super Catholic background. My parents know exactly what I do. They were super involved in the church. You know, my mom is like, I understand your work. You know, she's like, this is important work, blah, blah, blah. But personally, myself, I'm pro-life. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. But she lives up to that, like, label, right? Like, she actually does shit for all that stuff, right? And so But when talking to, like, my other family members, it's so difficult because they always assume that I'm trying to change their mind. And it's like, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. Like, whatever you believe is what you believe, right? But yeah, it's just a matter of, like, at least for me, getting folks to, like, respect other people's choices, right? And so... But, you know, I don't know. I think it's different for other folks. I feel like people sometimes really try to convince other people. But for me, it's just like, you know, as long as... If it's not affecting you, then it's not affecting you. You know, just don't get into other people's business if you don't have to. But I hope that answered your question.
No, yeah, definitely. And I was going to add to that, like, yeah, I've tried to... I feel like I, at one point, let me call myself out, I was, like, quote-unquote pro-life, or at least anti-abortion, because I was raised, like, everybody knows, I talk about all the time, Christian, right? Up until, like, I was 20, though, very embarrassing. Even though I was not, I think, like, up until I was maybe, like, 15 or 16, I stopped going to church. I kind of separated myself from church, but I still was, like... I still believe in God, but I, up until then, I would go to church all the time, but then I kind of, there was, like, this shift in me that I was just, like, the church, no thanks, but I still believe in God, and it wasn't until, and so, I never thought about abortion, like, I never, like, researched it, I was just, like, you know, like, how you grow up in the church and you just believe these things, you don't question them, you're like, I'm anti-abortion because everyone around me is saying that, or, you know, whatever, and so, I don't think I did anything extreme, like, I wouldn't go out of my way to, like, I just, that was, like, what I felt, and it wasn't until, you know, and in my early 20s, I started, like, just separating myself more and more from God, and, you know, whatever, but I was, like, I was, and so I think a lot of people, you know, are like that, like, they don't question abortion, they've never been in that position, maybe one day they might be, like, this is just, like, what you grow up hearing, and I know that here in El Paso, like, we are, it's, like, Catholicism is a big thing, like, even though, like, I don't know, El Paso is, like, voting, it's always blue, right? It's always blue, but there still is a very, like, Catholic presence here in El Paso, right? Just like in Juarez, like, I mean, whatever, but yeah, so, like, now I feel like, you know, my parents, they're anti-abortion, and I was telling Ruben, actually, like, after I had my son, I remember my stepdad's like, oh, like, now that you're a mom, like, are you pro-life? Like, are you, you're not pro-abortion, right? And I was like, no, like, I'm probably more abortion. And, like, I think that threw them off. Like, and I think for a lot of people, like, they act like if you're a parent, then you're, like, automatically pro-life. Where I read somewhere that, like, 60% of parents, moms or parents, are pro-choice because, and I'm like, that makes so much sense because we've either been in that position, like, because we understand what it's like to go through pregnancy, to have a child, probably to be, like, poor and having a child, right? When I got pregnant, I didn't know, like, if I wanted to have an abortion or, but I'm just saying for me personally, I was, like, weighing out my options, and I, obviously I had my child, and that was, like, my choice. I wanted to have my child. I chose motherhood, and I don't regret that ever, you know, but I appreciate, and I'm thankful that I had at that time, like, that option, that I wasn't forced into motherhood. It wasn't like, you have to be a mom and that's it. That's, like, your only choice here, because when we force people into parenthood, into motherhood, it's like, that is not, you're already going into this as, like, something that you kind of are like, I don't know if I want this, or you don't want it at all. So, like, how does that relationship affect you with not only with your child, but, like, with you and your life and your income? And there's just, like, so many factors, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, so for a lot of, and then a lot of parents have had abortions. A lot of people who are parents now had an abortion when they were teenagers, when they didn't have a job, when they wanted to finish school, and now they're in a place where they're like, now I want to have a family. Now I'm okay with raising a child. And they're in a better place than if you would have forced them into something like 10 years ago, right? So anyway, I don't even know how I got off on this on this parent rant. But, oh, because my family. Yeah, because they're very, like, you know, conservative. They're very, they're Christian or whatever. And it's like, yeah, a lot of these people don't live up to that because they're like, you just after these children are born, again, like, we always have this conversation of, like, what happens to these children? Not just, like, them in foster care, but even, like, people who, like, stay with these children. Like, not only do these parents sometimes, like, resent these children, and that's, like, a whole conversation of, I'm not trying, like, it, I feel like it's a normal thing. I'm not, like, everyone, you should treat your child bad, but it's, like, you put people in these positions where they didn't want this child, and now they have, mm-hmm. they have this child, and they might love this child, but they still resent this child, and they might not have support, and maybe they have other kids that they can't take care of, and it's just, like, a lot of factors, right, that people are just kind of, like, give it up for adoption, yeah. It's, you know, or just don't have sex, or, and then we can go into, like, well, how is it accessible even to get on birth control?
Exactly.
Or, like, I tried to get on birth control when I was in my early 20s, and, like, I couldn't because I didn't even have, like, a doctor. Like, it's not like I could just go to Walgreens and be like, put me on birth control, you know? So, and sex not- ed, sex, sorry, yeah. Sex ed, education, abstinence, bullshit, like, it's just a lot, you know? Like,
yeah, and I mean, you're absolutely right because, you know, the thing about being pro-abortion and pro-choice is, like, also having the choice to parent when and how you want, right? And so, with West Fund specifically, you know, we get the reproductive justice definition from Sister Song, which is, like, a Black woman organization who coined the term reproductive justice, right? And so the thing about reproductive justice is, like, it's not just about abortion. It's about everything that encompasses having the reproductive choice, right? Which is, like, being able to parent how, where you want to parent, having, you know, environmental justice in that, you know, being able to take care of your children in a healthy, safe environment, being able to feed them, not being scared about, you know, the police shooting your children, things like that. And so that all encompasses reproductive justice. And that's something that a lot of folks don't understand when it comes to, you know, not all pro-abortion organizations have the reproductive justice framework, right? But for us, that's super important because it's a very nuanced experience, right? Like, so it's just like, the honestly, I think the best alternative is an abortion because an abortion is actually safer than a penicillin shot. Like, it's actually a very safe procedure, right?
Alexi's like, when I say pro-abortion, I mean pro-abortion for all.
Right, yeah, I mean, like real life. And so, like,
our listeners can actually put the code BBF on West Fund to get your abortion now.
And so, you know what I mean? Like, there's all these, like, factors that we're not fully aware of, especially for people who are able to get pregnant, right? Like, there's so many things that can happen within your pregnancy, within taking birth control. And a lot of the doctors don't give a shit, you know? They don't even give us fucking, like, what is it? Painkillers for, like, biopsies for your cervix and things mm-hmm. like that, right?
Fucking pap smear.
Yeah. So it's all these little things where I'm just like, look, y'all, like, it's not, if that's not your cup of tea, then it's not your cup of tea, but don't make someone else go through an experience that you yourself have never gone through or that you had a different experience with simply because of some, like, moral belief that you have. Like, that doesn't make you better than anyone else, you know? And there's just a lot of factors that come with abortion. I think abortion is great. I think it saves lives. It's, you know, it's a medical procedure. It's super safe, you know, right? And again, you know, it's all about being able to parent when you want to. And I think that's, like, the best thing ever because it, you know, it preps you, you know, if that's what you want, if that's the kind of life you want to go for, right? Being a parent eventually. And so, yeah, I think I got real pro-abortion there.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. I think I'm glad that you brought up reproductive. It should encompass, and it does, but for a lot of people that they kind of just talk reproductive justice equals abortion, and mm-hmm. it's like housing is also reproductive justice, education, environment, like everything that has to do with, like, how I parent my child, right?
Exactly.
So it doesn't stop there, and that is for both pro-choice and pro-life bitches, right? You know, like, it doesn't just stop at, like, oh, I had this child, or, like, oh, I got an abortion, and that's it, that's where it ends. So, you know, I guess maybe this isn't the conversation for it. I know it ties in. We're like I said, this conversation about abortion, reproductive rights can go, like, into so many different topics and discussions. But for me, it's like, I talk a lot about motherhood and about children's rights and about my birth trauma, because I experienced birth trauma and medical negligence. So I know, like, firsthand, like, how pregnancy and, like, birth is, you know? And so, like, I just wish people could also talk about abortion in these things that we're talking about, of not in a white feminist lens, but and all of these, like, bring up all of these things, but also, like, to extend it further into, like, pregnancy as its own thing, and then also, like, birth, and then also, like, parenthood, right? It's like a continuation. Yeah. It doesn't just, like, stop at one thing. But yeah, that's all I was gonna add. What were you gonna say, Ruben?
You mentioned earlier that, you know, you were kind of anti-choice up until you were like 20.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, if I'm not mistaken, you already had some burgeoning, like, feminist opinions
yeah.
up to that point. So how did those two coexist, A? And then B, what did it take for you to actually, like, be pro-choice?
So, yeah, and I was going to mention that. So I discovered, like I mentioned, like, feminism when I was, like, 16. So, again, the way that I was introduced to feminism was through a white lens. And even then, like, I think when I would read about, like, feminism, even white feminism, abortion was a big thing, right? But I still felt like that's not something, you know what I mean? Like, I was still like, I'm a feminist, but I guess I was one of those those whack people that are like, I'm a feminist and I can be pro-life, because you know, they are out there. So I guess that was me, because I was still like, it was very much a religion thing. Like, it wasn't, like I said, I didn't even think about it. I was just kind of like, no, that's wrong. Even me being a fucking gay ass, I was still in my head like, I'm going to hell. Like, I was still like gay, I was still like quote unquote a feminist, but I was still like very like I said, like, when you grow up, for me, like, growing up in church was just like, it takes a lot for you to undo these things that you've been taught your whole life, because again, for me, I was like, this is right, this is what's right. And even like telling myself like, I can't be gay, you know, like, I hated myself, like, I. So it wasn't just, like, the abortion thing. It was a lot of things, right? But when I started this little collective, like, this little Riot Girl collective, and a lot of the girls there were obviously pro-choice because they were feminists and they were pro-choice, and they would try to, like, want to kind of include this, like, abortion or pro-choice thing into our meetings or into our events, and I was kind of always like, no. And I think that a lot of them were like kind of thrown off by it, because they were like, what do you mean no, right? Because I was also like the one who started this whole thing, or that I was like, yeah, feminism, right? So they were just like, they would try to challenge me on it, but I was also very like, no. And I never like got into it, and I, like I said, like, a conversation about it. To me, I was just like, it is what, like, I just, like, that was like my response, like, no, like, I don't believe in that, because in my head, you know, I'm like Jesus or whatever. Right. And it was that actual, having that collective at the time actually did, maybe we didn't have conversations about that abortion specifically, but just like a lot about like misogyny and the Bible and religion. And at first I did feel attacked, right? Because again, this is something that I believed for like 20 years, let's say maybe 19, I don't know how old I was up until that point. So I did feel like people were attacking me as a Christian or as a whatever, but then I mean, I didn't say that, but that's what I thought in my head, you know. And then, but it those conversations, or like hearing other people talk about that, like, really did make me stop and think like, damn, like, Jesus is a misogynist, or like the Bible is very sexist, or the Bible is very homophobic, or the Bible is like all of these things. And I remember breaking down at one point, like crying, because it was like I said, like, you believe this thing that you've been taught your whole life, and then one minute you feel like, damn, like, that was all a lie. Yeah. Like, that's not real. And not only is it not real, but like, how do I undo all of these thoughts and these ideas and like think on my own? Right? Because it's not like I'm going to talk to my family about it, because then they're just going to be like, no, that's wrong. But yeah, it was like this breakthrough in that very, having that collective, like, where I was just like, oh, okay, like, I understand. And that made me not only rethink abortion, but made me rethink, I feel like, everything that I, the majority of things that I knew up until that point. So I think, you know, for people that love to talk to other people, like, try to convince people, like, how to be pro. I mean, I guess it might work. Like, I mean, I guess you can say it worked for, like, me. But for me, like Alexi said, like, I wouldn't try to, like, challenge someone on abortion. Like, my sister is pro-choice, and one time she was showing me pictures of, like, her with some group doing, like, where they're standing outside, like, the abortion clinic, like, because she goes to church, right? And I remember just being like, you know what? I don't want to see this. Like, I don't agree with that. Like, that's very violent. Like, I'm pro-abortion. And then she started crying. and then it was this thing where, like, I didn't really, like, want to challenge her on it. Like, I was just like, this is where I stand. Like, I think that that's wrong. And she knows where that I'm pro-abortion, and I know that she's pro-life. And, like, if I were to see her do that again, I'd call her out because she's, like, interfering with someone's, like, right to an abortion. Mm-hmm. But if you're just, like, minding your business, like, if you just want to be, like, pro-life in your little head, like, be pro-life in your little head. You know what I mean? But, like, the problem with me is, like, when you're, like, actively trying to stop someone from having an abortion, when you're harassing people or, you know, et cetera, I think that that's where I would, like, step in. And not even to have a conversation, probably, just to, like, physically step in, you know? But if you're, like, quote-unquote pro-life or whatever, like, just keep it to yourself. Like, how is it affecting you, right? Like,
that reminds me. Do you remember when Planned Parenthood first opened and they were having that anti-choice?
Oh, that's kind of, like, the first time me and Alexis hung out.
Yeah, we, like, it was just us two talking shit to a bunch of pro-lifers.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood came, like, 4 years ago, and I was like, who wants to go? Yeah. And it was just me and Alexis. And it was, like, me and Alexis were, like, friends online, but it was, like, the first time we actually, like, kind of, like, hung out in person, and it was to, like, talk shit outside of Planned Parenthood. So, like, I guess it's, like, it makes sense that we're here now.
But, yeah, I mean, it's wild to me that, like, you know, like I said, I was raised Catholic, but, you know, I relate to, like, a lot of things that you were saying because, like, the church indoctrinates the fuck out of you, right? So, like, even I was super pro-life at one point to, like, I remember they held a rally, like, the bishop held a rally, and we went, and they were talking to this woman who was, like, sexually assaulted, but she ended up having her baby, and she was like, this was the, like, best thing that ever happened to. So, like, they indoctrinate you in this, like, really fucked up ways, right? And so, you know, they try getting folks who had abortions and regretted them, but they don't actually talk about, like, why they had to get the abortion, right? And so I even have had clients who had to get abortions, right? Because they already had kids, they didn't have the money, they were in, like, bad situations or whatever the fucking circumstance was, right? They had to get abortions to make sure that they could be safe as, you know, them as a person. And, you know, for them, it was like, man, I really wish I had the ability to be able to go through this, like, pregnancy process the way that I wanted to, but they just didn't have the resources, right? So these, like, religious organizations love targeting those people and being like, see, they regretted their abortions. Like, this is why abortion is bad. And it's like, no, you're not actually getting down to the root of the cause, right? Like, the root of the issue is that, like, there's no resources, there's no support for people who actually want to become parents but don't have the ability to parent the way that they want to. And so the best way to keep themselves safe is to go through these abortions, right? And so, yeah, I mean, just, you know, talking, being able to, like, unlearn all this, like, fucking Catholic guilt, you know, from yourself, and, like, being able to, like, view this in a, like, okay, you know, this might not affect me personally per se, but, you know, this is a real thing, right? And so people need to, like, I just wish people were more critical about how they talk about certain things, right? But that's obviously asking too much because some people don't even have common sense, so.
Yeah, and also, like, when I see people also talking about, like, bringing up sexual assault victims, rape victims, incest, or, you know, it's also that too. Like, obviously that's very important and those people also deserve abortions, but it's like, you deserve it as, like, because this terrible thing happened to you, so I guess you are the exception, you get to have it, right? So only if your body is, like, violated, then you get to have this medical procedure, right?
It's like you have to experience violence in order to be able to go through this, right?
Exactly. So it's like, when I see a lot of people, like, I'm glad people share their stories. Like, obviously everyone has their own story about abortion, but when we cling on to, like, what about not eat, like, when people were talking about the abortion ban, they're like, not even like rape victims, not even like, and it's like, no, like, that shouldn't be like an emphasis, because then that's what you're reinforcing, right? It should just kind of be like, you don't have to share why you want an abortion, you should just be able to get one. Like, that's like pretty much it, you know. I feel like a lot of people are like, give us the reason, or like, a lot of the times when Planned Parenthood is under attack, I always see like the reason, like, they're like, Planned Parenthood just doesn't do abortions. They all, and they like start listing all these medical things. I'm like, but even if that's all they did, then that's still valid. You know what I mean? Like, and that is like why a lot of us say like pro-abortion. Like, it doesn't, and minus Alexi's, like, and it doesn't mean that we want everybody to have an abortion. It just means that, like, first we're like trying, a lot of people act like the word abortion is like this bad word, like we shouldn't say it, right? So like saying like you're pro-abortion just means like, you're like, it's not something that you're like normalizing it, right? If I'm wrong, like, it's kind of like pro-choice is, I feel, I don't know, how would you describe that? I'm like,
I feel like pro-choice, I don't know, I have a lot of like weird feelings about a lot of like the hashtags, like hands off my uterus or like shit like that, right? Because I'm just like, I guess you're making it gender neutral, but, you know, so at least for me, like, pro-choice doesn't encompass, like, it kind of gives me the, like, you know, if we had better sex education, you wouldn't need an abortion type of feel, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like people
who... Like, let's try to get away with abortions, period.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they think that by setting up all these systems, like, oh, you know, like, I'm pro-choice, I'm not pro-abortion. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, that's not...
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
You know, so it's... I don't know how to, like, articulate it properly, right? But, you know, and the same with these folks, right, that they're pro-choice. Like, I've been seeing also a lot online, especially, like, when September 1st hit, was, like... you know, mandatory vasectomies for, like...
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, like...
because, bitch.
And it's kind of like, ew, like, are you pro-sterilization? Like, even people who are like, oh, maybe IUD should be mandatory. And it's just like, no, like, that's not the point.
You're, like, contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, well, first, let me just get back to, like, yeah, I understand what you're saying about pro-choice. It's kind of like... I don't agree with abortion, but right now, because that's all we have, like, I guess you can have one. But if abortion... like... I guess pro-choicers are kind of like, they'd rather not, like, how to explain it? Like, they're quote-unquote okay with abortions, but they'd rather not be.
Right.
So they'd rather say pro-choice and eventually get to this place where nobody needs an abortion. Right. But it should just be, like, pro-abortion. That's, I think, that, like, the emphasis on, like, abortion is normal, like, fucking get it. And, yeah, we should, like, focus, like I said, we should reduce, not like, oh, we should just, like, no one should have an abortion. But it's kind of like, yeah, let's invest in families. Let's invest in childcare. Let's invest in birth control and sex education with the understanding that people are still going to need abortions. And that's okay. Versus just like, I'd rather like, it still kind of makes me uncomfortable. So, but I'm okay. Like, I understand what you're saying. I don't know if we're articulating it well, Ruben.
So, yeah, just like to clarify, like, you're saying pro-choice is a little too ambiguous, because what does choice mean under, like, a current, like, surveillance, carceral, patriarchal state, whereas pro-abortion is straight to the point, you know, you are pro this, you know, life-saving, life-changing medical procedure that everybody deserves the options to have, right? The access to it, right?
Yeah, so real quick, back to the vasectomy thing before I forget. It's like, yes, I posted about that. Like, that thing annoyed the shit out of me. Like, you know, also, like, just completely erasing trans people in general, non-binary people. But also, like, how are you gonna say you're pro-choice and then you're like, all men should get vasectomies, or all... everybody should get an IUD. Like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, and I'll, like, I just can't. That whole, I can't. I just wanted to say that real quick. Like, it just, you, like, no. It doesn't make sense. Yes, I also hate, like, people are like, vasectomies are reversible. First of all, stop saying that, because a lot of them are not. Like, yes, a lot of, generally, you can get it reversed, but that's not the case all the time. Like, it's, like, there's a lot of factors in that. So it's just like, please, let's just think about what we're saying, because sometimes I think language matters. Let's just say that. Sometimes, like, people, I don't know what the word is, like, yeah, sometimes in some conversations, like, people just want to hold on to semantics all the time, and, like, I see it in my fucking comments all the time, right? But sometimes language is very important, and the way that we talk about things is very important, especially in conversations like this, right, where we're excluding trans people, where we're, like...
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, you know, that reminds me when you were saying, like, we're excluding trans people by saying, like, people need to get vasectomies. I'm reminded of this essay by, I believe it was Kai-Cheng Tom, or no, it was Luna Merbruja. And Luna Merbruja was essentially saying, like, beyond just, like, this discussion about, like, you know, this single view discussion about, like, women deserve access to abortions and to family planning, we should start expanding our understanding of family planning to include a trans reality, right? Where, you know, people who might go on a certain type of hormone, you know, sometimes they lose their ability to, you know, reproduce, right? As they take on the hormones. Doesn't always happen, but it does happen a lot. So what does it mean for trans people to family plan in that case, right? And so this essay essentially proposed that, like, you know, we have to start thinking about, like, you know, ovary and, like, sperm freezing as something that is necessary for trans people to plan a family, right, in the future, to even consider that. And it was on Everyday Feminism. It is, despite this seems so progressive, this essay is, like, I'm going to say, like, a decade old at this point.
Right. And another, sorry, just real quick. And another thing, too, you know, like, there's a difference between being able to have abortion rights and actually having abortion access, right? Because, like, in 2013, they passed, what was it, SB8, and a bunch of clinics closed down. So even if this abortion ban hadn't gone through, people still don't have access to abortion care, right? Or any kind of reproductive care. And, you know, again, I think that's, at least for me, is, like, why it's important to distinguish between pro-choice and pro-abortion, right? Because it's also about access and being able to have those resources to be able to get your abortion outside of just paying for it, right? Yeah, that's all I wanted to add.
Hmm. Yeah, like, a lot of people don't even have that choice. Mm-hmm. So it's like pro-choice, like, what? Where's the choice of, right, if it's not accessible to me, right?
And, like, you know, October 2nd just passed, and it was, like, the Women's March.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Tell us about
going on. You know what I mean? And so it's this thing of, like, yeah, you know, protests are good, but it's not the end-all, be-all, right? Like, we need folks to do more. And, you know, before I get into that really quickly, you know, another thing that a lot of folks don't know is that a lot of clinics actually do, like, a mental health assessment before you get your abortion. And that also determines whether you actually get your abortion or not. Because if they find you, like, quote unquote, mentally unstable, you're not going to get that abortion, right? And so...
And it's like, how do they... who gets to determine?
Exactly. And so there's so many obstacles to go through, right? And, like, that's one thing that, you know, like, shout out to all the clinics, shout out to all the doctors, like, they're doing great work, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, there's still... like, white supremacy still influences these medical practices and how they do their work, right? Because we've seen it. We've seen medical racism, you know, like, there's all these little factors that people, yes, abortion should be safe, legal, whatever, and also it should be rid of that white supremacy, of that medical racism, because... you know, at the end of the day, the folks who are able to get to their appointments but are indigenous or are black or, you know, POC who seem quote-unquote unstable for whatever reason, they're not going to get it, even though they were able to actually get to that clinic, you know? So there's so many things that folks need to, you know, not just other folks, but even us as funds to be able to fight and hold people accountable and, you know... I think a lot of the times one of the issues with this work is that people automatically assume that it's, you know, radical work. And it is radical work and it's sacred work, right? Like, I believe that it is. And at the same time, you know, we're still nonprofits. We're still operating under the nonprofit industrial complex. I'm getting paid because there's people who need to seek their abortions, right? And so, you know, that's, you know, as much, I love West Fund and, you know, for all of us, you know, it's kind of like, we do this job to work ourselves out of this job. Like, it doesn't just end and start here, right? And so these are little things that I wish people would be more aware about, even folks within, you know, reproductive justice spaces. Yeah.
So while we're on that, are there, like, A, where can folks support West Fund? And then second, like, what other spaces do you suggest folks support?
Yeah, so for folks, you know, for anyone who wants to, like, donate or, like, do some kind of, like, fundraiser on our behalf, wherever they're at, you know.
And what does that look like doing a fundraiser on your behalf?
So that's basically, like, we kind of just leave that up to folks, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, this is, like, what we do, this is the work that we do, and they can just do whatever. So I know, like, there's a group here in El Paso called Viejitas for Choice, and it's, like, this group of, like, elder women who just, like, do these, like, little fundraisers for us, and then they, like, donate like the money.
You can sell food, you can
you can basically do anything, yeah. Like, you can make it, like, super fun, or you can make it as serious as you want. Like, it doesn't have to be anything, like, super deep, right? I know folks have, like, sold, like, shirts, and, like, the proceeds, like, went to us. Little things like that, right? There's also, like, volunteer opportunities. And, you know, if for anyone else who, for example, like, is into abortion but isn't in El Paso but is in other, like, places in Texas, you know, there's, like, other, you know, there's ways to virtually volunteer. So I know we have some volunteers, like, out in Austin, right, who do helpline for West Fund specifically. So, you know, you can go to our website. You can go to our social medias, and then there's other funds, for example, like Jane's Due Process, right? So Jane's Due Process in Texas is a really cool fund because they help get minors their abortion. So because in Texas you need parental consent to get an abortion, they do this thing called judicial bypass where they get a judge to sign a waiver to allow the minor to get their abortions. And so Jane's Due Process, or JDP, is able to do that for them and is able to fully fund their abortions, right? And then in the RGV, there's Frontera Fund, who also funds abortions and actually does practical support as well. So paying for lodging, traveling, things like that, it's really cool.
And for those outside of Texas, RGV is another border mm-hmm. city, Rio Grande Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't know why I said it. I don't know why I said it like that. Rio Grande Valley. Rio Grande Valley. RGV. So they are, El Paso and RGV are like the two, like, border cities. Yeah. And again, the reason, like, I always emphasize also, because obviously I'm in a border city, so I know that it's like poor people, like our what is it? Like our income or like people's.
Oh, yeah.
Is like below like national average. It's also like, it also means that a lot of like collectives or organizations in border cities don't get as much funding as like, mm-hmm. let's say Austin or Dallas or like these, or Houston, right? Like the bigger cities. And we're often just kind of like forgotten about, just like,
oh yeah,
in general, just like in regards to like conversations and like anything, right? Yeah. It's also like, on top of that, like the racism and xenophobia associated with like border mm-hmm. towns. But anyway, so for me personally, I like online, for example, you'll see me like just kind of boosting like border shit all the time. So RGV, Frontera Fund, and then in El Paso we have West Fund.
Mm-hmm. And so, then,
and that's not to say like, if you're in Austin, right, like you want to donate to like, I don't know, whoever's in Austin or Dallas, we're just, like I said, just for me, like there's always like an emphasis at the border.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, the funds that I like to uplift the most are, I mean, obviously West Fund, right? Frontera Fund. In Albuquerque, there's actually a fund called Mariposa Fund, and so they fund undocumented folks' abortions, which is really cool. And then there's also an abortion fund in New Mexico called Indigenous Women Rising, and so they help Indigenous folks all over the U.S. to get their abortions, as well as anyone under 18. And so, you know, those are really cool organizations to donate to. You know, in San Antonio, there's a new abortion fund called Buckle Bunnies. And so that was started by some sex workers who are super young. They're really cool. And so, you know, donate your money that way as well. And then I'm not sure if it's Dallas or Houston. There's another fund called the Afia Center, and that's specifically for Black women. They have a fund called the Cis Fund. And so, so yeah, those are really great organizations. There's other ones. Folks can go to the National Network of Abortion Funds website, and that lists all the abortion funds in the United States. And it takes you to their websites, their numbers, things like that. So that's, you know, helpful.
Cool. So we're going to end on a hopeful note. And so we usually end the podcast by asking, like, what has made you less bitter? Does anybody want to start?
I can start. I've been reading a lot of queer and trans YA and romance. And, like, it's just, like, reminded me, like, oh, crap. Like, reading can just be, like, pleasurable and fun. Because just being in, like, this program, this master's program, is just, like, this is literal literature. Like, this is what good writing is. And it's, like, good writing can look like so many things. And when I look at this, like, really hopeful wave of, like, YA and romance, I'm just, like, you know, especially, like, a lot of younger queer and trans kids, like, the future is bleak, right? Like, climate disaster, like, authoritarianism and so forth, right? But this escape is so necessary for so many people, and I include myself in that number. And it was so, it's been really cool to read a lot of it.
What has made you less bitter, Alexis? It doesn't have to, it just, like, recently, or just the last time you felt happy. Me implying you're not happy.
What has made me less bitter?
After we just talked about this whole thing that impacts your work and your life.
I'm like, shit. Fuck, I don't even know. I think I was able to get, like, a good mental health diagnosis, you know? Shout out to my ADHD bipolar people. And so now I'm on medication, which took me 27 years, but I'm here.
Yes.
And so I think that's been super helpful in my, like, just mental health in general, which has been helping me with all these, like, feelings during this time in Texas. So yeah, I think that's what's made me, less bitter. Shout out to meds.
Yes. I'm like, yes. No, yeah, it feels really validating, right? Like, that's how I felt too. And it's, it just sucks too, because I felt like one of the things is, like, I have Medicaid because I don't have a job. And every time I'm like, why do I have to just, like, be extra poorer, right? Like, to get, like, some sort of, like, access to healthcare.
Right.
But that's literally, like, I feel like the only reason I got diagnosis and am on medication too. And it's like, I'm always scared, like, what if my Medicaid gets cut off? Like, how am I going to pay for this? Yeah. But anyway, just to say that yeah, it is very validating, and I wish everyone had, like, that,
yeah,
that access to that, right? What made me less bitter is let's see. Like I mentioned, I'm going to start school next week. I know I mentioned this on our live, but maybe you didn't see our Instagram live, but it was just, like, feeling supported, because, like, going to school is a lot. Like jumping hoops, right? Like, if you're, like, I can't remember the last time I was in school. And speaking of, like, being diagnosed with ADHD, I realized for me, like, you know, like, you're like, oh, so many things make sense. Like, for me was school. It was like, oh, like, I'm not dumb or lazy or unmotivated or whatever. Like, I dropped out of high school. I ended up getting my GED. I've been, like, on and off with college, like, and it's just hard for me, right? And so I decided to go back, but like taking a different path. Like initially I had wanted to be a teacher, and I still do, but I feel like right now at least, like that's not something I can accomplish. But anyway, I'm going for massage therapy, and it wasn't something that I had ever thought about really until I started talking to one of my best friends who's also going to do this program with me, and like talking about like why and what that looks like. And I was like, you know, trade might be better for me, right? As someone who like isn't that successful in school, and like that is okay. But anyway, I'm going off on this whole thing, but just also like not only that, but like as a single mom, it's hard to do a lot of things, even school. So for childcare, for how to pay for school, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to tell the whole story again because it's really long, but really just like I had jumped through all these hoops to kind of like register for this program. And then it was like the schedule was like in conflict with like my childcare. And then I was like, oh, like I did all these things and now I cannot do this program at all because I don't have childcare. And childcare is like a lot because it's like the reason I don't do a lot of things, even have like a steady job, right? But anyway, my friend that I'm talking about that is doing the program with me ended up like switching. Like she was doing like the morning and I needed the morning spot and there was no spots available. Mm-hmm. So she like gave it to me so that she could do the afternoon, right? And it was like I felt so like held, I don't know, like in that moment, you know? Yeah, so that made me less bitter. Like, I think also around that time that was happening a few weeks ago, I was just like dealing a lot with like single mom problems, like with my son, you know? And so, see, I'm like emotional. So it was just like, you know, like community showing up for you. Anyway, shout out to my best friend. One of my best friends got in. She jokes a lot. She's like, you know, I love MILFs and like single moms or whatever. Like I'm a single mom advocate. But anyway, like she didn't have to do that. You know, she's also giving up a lot for that. It wasn't just like, oh no, it's fine, I'll go. Like, it's like that program for some reason is like longer. It's like a different schedule. Like she had to, you know what I mean? Like it was just like, I don't know. I think I was feeling bitter up until that point. Like I was like in my Aquarius, you know, like Aquarius does this thing. Let me drag everybody here. Like where it's like, people don't like me. Like my friends don't want to talk to me. And it's like just you like excluding yourself or like
isolating. Me every day.
Right. Like if your friends aren't like begging you to go to this party, you're like, no one invited me. Like I don't feel.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how I was. Well, I was feeling at the time. Not only that, but like, I was like, nobody cares about me. Like, nobody checks up on me. Like I do all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like just like victimized, like in my feelings. Right. Cause I was just like sad. So I was like, oh, okay. Like I do have people, you know, that care obviously. So I think up until that point I was very bitter and then I was like less bitter. So, so yeah. So I'm excited to start school. I think there's like that thing that I'm like, what if I fail? Like what if it's too hard or whatever? But I think that's just me.
You're going to get some strong-ass hands.
Yeah, so I'm going to be, like, the community massager.
Ooh. Work.
So, yeah.
That's so necessary, like, on the real. Yeah, there's a program back in L.A. that gave queer people of color free massages. But, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, like, kind of, like, I think when I thought about it that way, like in this, like, community care way, like, just... I would love a fucking massage. I don't have money to get a massage. A lot of people, and not only like it, like financially, like paying for massage, but like a lot of people, like trans people, queer people, survivors, like might not feel comfortable just like showing up at some place, right? Like where someone. So like, I think being able to get a massage from someone who like you know, or like that you know, like they're. I don't know, their like, politics and values, like, come from would be, like, more. And then also, like, making it accessible or, like, to people that need it, right? Yeah. So, like, looking at it that way, I think, made me be like, oh, yeah, that's something I would like to do. And it's also, like, a job. It's also a job that I need because, like, I think also, like, as a single mom, I'm like, I just want a career. Or, like, I just need something stable, right? But also, like, at the same time, giving back and, like, being able to, like, offer something, right? To community. So yeah. So hit me up in not like a year, you know. The only thing that I'm sad about is not being able to like have nails, but you know, tear. I will suck it up. I will suck it up. But yeah,
you can use your knuckles.
I'm like, you like that? You can't see what God. I'm doing. I'm like scratching Alexi's.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in.
And yes.
I hope y'all follow all the stuff that needs to be followed and support
abortion. Yes. Pro abortion for everybody.
Pro abortion.
Yes. Thank you to all our right, guest correspondent, Alexi's again. They will be back.
Yes, on the ground.
We're going to send them on the ground to do another, you know, get another job at another nonprofit, or I don't know where we will send them next, but they will be back to share, to share some breaking news after it happens. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Right, take care. Bye.
Before we leave, I want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over in our I Know Her level tier. Y'all are real troopers, sending you all my love. Particularly Fernando P, Medium, Cat T, Raul SV, Tate, Ames T, Amy M, Layla G, Lizbeth K, Sarah M, Yulitza, Chrissy J, Gianna RS, Miguel B, Yasmin, Jocelyn D, Vanessa G, Erika A, Alejandro M, Justine, Magdalena S, Ronnie L, Linda M, Bianca, Danielle V, Kimberly, Jen, Abigail, and Aranya. Y'all are the best. All right, thank you for supporting us, and I'll see you next episode. Bye.